Some around the neighborhood of St. Anthony, particularly those on the 3400 block of Stinson Boulevard, are sometimes treated probably to perhaps an odd sight. It is a sight at Saturday evening, at 3421 Stinson Boulevard. It may be before we have shut our blinds in our living room for the evening. And someone at that house, namely me, is walking, pacing. I am a pacer, okay? That is how I think. I walk and I think and I talk out loud. The kids are in bed. Tabitha's having time alone herself. I am preparing for my sermon or for my Sunday school lesson. And I am making laps, if you've ever been in our house, through the kitchen, through the dining room, through the living room. I'm just doing a big circle. And I've often thought, with those blinds open, one of our neighbors must be looking in my windows and saying, "What is he doing? Why is he just walking around by himself, just head down, just wandering? This guy is a very strange guy." Maybe that's why they haven't invited us over for dinner recently. They think this guy is a little bit mentally unstable. But in any event, I am a walker. Now, I don't walk too much in my normal life, but especially when it comes to exercise, I get a little bored. But nonetheless, walking is something that we're all familiar with. Now, some of you have also are walkers, but you're walkers not by yourself. You're walkers with someone else. I remember my family will go sometimes on walks together. It's not a walk to stay in shape. It's a walk to connect. Kiki will be back in town, and or Anna will be back in town, and there'll be about a little half a mile or mile maybe loop around the neighborhood that on a beautiful summer evening we'll just all go for a walk, and we'll talk, and we'll enjoy each other's company. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about here. In fact, I've shared walks, perhaps, with some of you as we've talked about various issues relating to church or to life or to the gospel. Walking is a powerful symbol. It can be a powerful connector between two people. And it was that thought that jumped out at me as I was considering this passage. We've started over again in our yearly Bible reading. We're going through the book of Genesis. And this week we came across Genesis chapter 6. And there was one phrase that I'd like to focus our attention on this morning. It is in verse 9. "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Now, I'll tell you something. There is something far more interesting than walking by yourself, pacing as you think and cogitate on your thoughts and on your whatever's going through your daily life. There's something far more interesting and fulfilling than walking with your husband or wife or your child or your church fellow church member. There's something far more fulfilling than all of those things. It is walking with God. Really, I just want to bring this simple idea to our minds today. What does it mean to walk with God? How could it be said of a man, a Noah, who had flesh and blood like you and I do? He wasn't fundamentally different than you or I. How could it be said of a human being that, looking back on their life, oh, he walked with God? And friends, think of the people that are the most spiritual people that you know. Think of the ones who just radiate a kind of idea that they are just in the presence of God. Think back to those people. It could be said of them, they walk with God. He walks with God. She walks with God. And the question, after we ask the question, what does it mean to walk with God, is to say, am I walking with God? Do I know what it looks like to walk with God? God. In this year of engagement at Straight Gate Church, as we understand what it means to have an engaged Savior, may this morning we know what it is to have an engaged walk. That is going to be the title of my message this morning, An Engaged Walk. Walking with God. There are three aspects of Noah's walk that will, I think, give insight into what it means to walk with God. And so, first of all, we'll understand that it was a pure walk. Secondly, we'll understand that it was a personal walk. And third, we'll understand that it was a pleasing walk. A pure walk, a personal walk, and a pleasing walk. First of all, a pure walk. What do we mean that a walk with God is a pure walk? Well, we need to understand something about Noah. Who was Noah? Noah was at the very, not the very beginning, but it what doesn't take too many generations to get from the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, to Noah. They were great, 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 great grandparents or something like that. And Noah was in a time of life, a time of man's history, when there was much wickedness in the sight of God. Brother Sims read it for us. Here's what God diagnosed about earth. God says in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now look at this. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, in that day, basically every thought that people had was pretty much just toward evil, was just pretty much toward wickedness. And God saw that the wickedness that came out in conduct as the result of those thoughts was severe. Now, we shouldn't look at ourselves and say we've got it so much better. You know what? We're pretty wicked here on earth today. We look around at our world around us and we see all kinds of evil, the kinds of evil that prompt someone to fly from Anchorage, Alaska, through Minneapolis, down to Fort Lauderdale to take out a gun and start shooting people in an airport. All kinds of evil that results in all the violence that we see in our cities and in our communities, the evil that's not just in the physical conduct toward people, but in the way we spend our money, in the way we spend our time, and the things that we pursue in our life. We need to understand that there is a holy God up in heaven looking down at this world that we are corrupting and saying, I see a lot of evil. I see a lot of wickedness and sin in this place we call earth. But you know, there was something about Noah. There was something about Noah that stood out. There was one man that was not like everyone else in the world in that day. There was one man that was different. What does Scripture say about him? These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. God looks around and sees wickedness everywhere, but then he sees Noah. Now, first of all, we need to understand that the pureness of his walk was reflected in his character. In his character, Scripture says that Noah was a perfect man. Now you say, Peter, I thought that no one was perfect. I thought that none of us are perfect. That's right. But what he's saying here is about Noah is not that Noah was perfect and that he never did anything wrong. The idea of the word is to say that he was complete, that he was a whole part in his character. Now, what do we say when someone is generally a decent person, but they get mad a lot? We call it a character what? Flaw. A character flaw. He had a really bad temper, and it was a problem. Oh, she is really sweet, but you know, she's really selfish. She has a character flaw. Oh, this person is really, but he's a little bit greedy. And he pursues money in a way so he can spend it on himself. He's greedy. He's got a character flaw. What he's saying about Noah is Noah was a perfect man in a sense that he didn't have these serious character flaws. He was complete in his maturity. He was a healthy spiritual man. Now, do you say, did Noah sin? You better believe he did. We read about it a few chapters later when Noah got drunk. He gave in to alcohol. Now, I'll tell you, friends, just as an aside here, if a perfect man in character, if an unblemished man, you might say, a just and righteous man could fall when it comes to alcohol, do we think that we're somehow stronger? Do we think that we're somehow less influenced by that temptation? No. Noah fell. What we're talking about here is not, again, a perfect man without sin. We're talking about the wholeness, the maturity of his character, but also his pureness of walk came in his conduct. Scripture says not only was he perfect, he was complete in his character, but he was a just man. He was a righteous man. It lived itself out in his life in appropriate conduct that was glorifying to God. Now, how does this relate to his walk, you say? Well, it relates to his walk because the fundamental principle of walking is, Scripture says elsewhere, how can two people walk together except they be agreed? Have you ever tried to go on a walk with your enemy? Have you ever tried to go on a walk and have a really nice walk and talk with someone that can't stand you and that you can't stand? Could you imagine going on a walk with someone who the things they like to talk about, you couldn't stand talking about? That would be a pretty uncomfortable walk, wouldn't it? That's because if you're going to walk with someone, you've got to have an agreement together. You've got to have some connection together. And so if we're going to walk with God, it's going to be on the basis, it's going to be related to a character that pleases God and a conduct that pleases God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? But you see here, the pureness of this walk also relates to the contrast of the walk. Not just the character, not just the conduct, but the contrast, because it stood out so starkly against the rest of the world at that time. The rest of the world didn't care about walking with God. They just wanted to get whatever they could. They wanted to heap upon themselves their own desires. They wanted to please themselves. And so it was that in this great cesspool, this great sea of wickedness, there was an island that stood out. And it was Noah. There's something very simple. If we want to walk with God, it's going to mean we're going to be different than everyone else. If we're not willing to be different from the people that go to school with us, if we're not willing to be different from the people that we work with, if we're not willing to be different from our neighbors, you're not going to walk with God. Guess why? Because they're not walking with God. They're not walking with God because they don't agree with God. The things that God loves, they don't love. The thing that God hates, they don't hate. They have no fellowship with God. They have no ability to walk with God. And that means that if we as Christians want to walk with God, we've got to be different. Now, we don't be different just for difference's sake. We don't be different just so that we can stand out and say, you want to know how different I am? Look at me. We are different because God is different. We are different because He is the one that we want to agree with. And when we look around and see great evil and wickedness, and we see it coming out in the way people dress and in how they are entertained, and we see it in how they pursue their life and the things they love in life, we as Christians say, you know what, I want to walk with God, so I got to put all that other stuff aside. I'm not going to talk like they do. I'm not going to dress like they do. I'm not going to live like they do. I'm going to be different. That was Noah. Noah, do you think it was a lonely existence for Noah? When everyone else has no thought about walking with God, no thought about being a just, righteous person, no thought about having perfect character, and Noah is standing there saying, God, I want to walk with you. I'm going to be different. You think it was a lonely existence for Noah? I've got to believe it was. But Noah said, I want to walk with God. That means I'm going to be different. Do you want to be different? Are you willing to be different? That is what it takes. That is what it means to walk with God. Here's what 1 John 1 says. The book of 1 John is all about having fellowship with God, all about having this kind of personal communion with God. 1 John 1, 6 says this. If we say that we have fellowship with God, if we say that we're walking with God, we're on the same path that He's on, and yet we walk in darkness, the Bible says we're liars. We're not actually having fellowship with God. We're not actually walking with God if we're living in areas of our life that displease Him, that grieve Him, if we're holding on to that darkness in our life. No, there's got to be a difference. And Noah was different. So we see, first of all, walking with God is a pure walk. It's a walk that is looking to Him to be different from those around us, but to be in agreement, to be in relationship with Him. But understand, secondly, that it was a personal walk. A personal walk with God. You see, we often have the idea of a walk being a walk that follows God. Remember what Jesus says, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. We often have that idea of God. I want to follow you, God. And what's the picture? God, you're up there, and I'm back here, and I'm going to follow you. You're going to chart out my path. No, that's important. That's kind of what it means to have a pure walk, to do the path, walk the path that God wants you to walk. You know, it's said in Scripture of certain men. It's said of Abraham. It's said of Isaac. It's said of David that they walked before God. I love that phrase. They walked before God. What does that mean? Well, I think back to a time in my life when I was in school. I've told some this story before here, and I was invited to try out for the men's basketball team. And I went to this tryout, and sure enough, the doors opened up to the gym, and the head coach of the basketball team walked into the gym. And the whole coaching staff walked into the gym. And this coach is one of the most famous coaches in the whole country. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's one of the biggest names who's ever coached. And all of us kind of did a gulp. Oh, man, he's going to be watching. And I'll tell you what, the fact that he was standing on the sideline seeing everything that we did changed the way we played, don't you think? Don't you think that when we were going to try to get back on defense and we were a little out of breath, do you think the fact that he was on the sideline watching us said, you know what, I don't care, I'm going to run a little bit faster down the court than I would have otherwise because he's watching. That's what I think of what it means to walk before God. Say, God, you're watching me. You know what I'm doing. And so I'm going to walk in a particular way. But do you know that's different? It's a little different than walking with God. Now, let me describe it to you this way and illustrate it to you this way. I am a really fast walker, and I'm a determined walker. I want to get from point A to point B, and I want to spend as little time in the middle as possible. I want to drive and get there quickly. I want to fly and get there quickly. I want to walk and get there quickly and get on with what I'm doing. And do you know that when I'm walking with my wife, my dear sweet wife, who is not 6'3", but is 5'4", that sometimes we walk at different speeds. And do you know what that means? That means I'm about 6 feet out in front of her, and I'm striding quickly to get to where I'm going, and she's kind of saying, hey, slow down a little bit. Slow down a little bit. Can't we walk together? Can't we walk together to where we're going? Now, why is it that Tabitha doesn't want to walk 6 feet behind me, but Tabitha wants to walk with me? You might say, well, that is kind of strange. You're going to the same direction, aren't you? Aren't you getting to the same place? You're going the same. She's following you. But what does she say? No, I don't want to follow. I don't just want to follow you. I want to be with you. I want to be holding your hand while we walk. I want to be talking while we walk. You see, if our only view of walking with God is that He's way out in front of us and we're just following the path that He has for us, we'll never know what it is to walk with God. That's what Noah knew. And that is because, secondly, it is a personal walk. It is a personal walk. Now, there are three aspects of this personal walk that I'd like to bring out for us today. First of all, it's a personal walk in its communication. Secondly, it's a personal walk in its connection. And third, it's a personal walk in its continuation. We're going to look at each of those and we're just going to kind of mix them together, blend them together. First of all, in its communication. Do you know that the walk with God that Noah had and the walk with God that you and I can have is a walk of communication? It's when Tabitha and I are walking together holding hands down the street and we're talking. Hey, what did you do today, sweetie? Oh, this is what I did. How did work go? Oh, this is how work went. How are you doing today? How are the kids doing? What are you hoping to do tomorrow? We're talking. We're communicating. That's the hymn we just sang. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. You see, that's what it means to walk with God, is to communicate with God. Now, this is something interesting that the Bible tells us, and maybe it'll be a little bit convicting to us. But do you know that the Bible commands you to pray without ceasing? What does it mean to cease? Stop. Pray without stopping. You say, well, man, my knees are going to get really sore if I'm just on my knees all day. No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying you got to be on your knees all day and never get up. He's saying your mode of communication is to be so close with God that you're always talking to him. You're always thinking about him. You're going through your workday and suddenly you just let up a prayer to God. You say, I'm praying, God. I don't have to be out loud. It can be in my head. But we got this kind of communication. You see, the problem with us is that we get apart from God in the day. The problem with us and the problem with me is when God is not on our hearts, he's ahead of us or we're ahead of him. We get off the path. We get off the path one way or another. No, there's communication with God that comes in prayer. But you see, it's not just about communication. It's not just about us communicating, telling God what our needs are. Secondly, it's this connection. It is a connection with God. You see, this is one of my favorite things about going on a walk with other people. I have found some of the profitable conversations that I've had have been walking with someone else, just me and that person. See, let's go walk and talk, can we? Can we just go spend some time together? And we'll just, while we're walking, we'll just communicate with one another. We will what? Connect. Do you know that God's desire is to connect with you? We're going to talk about this in our next point. God's desire is to have connection. Do you know the ones who you see in your life that just radiate spiritual reality? You just know it's real for them. You just know there's something going on in their life that you don't have. And you say, that's real and mine's not. Do you know what marks them out as being real? Because they connect with God daily. You see, it's not just about getting up in the morning, friend, and reading your Bible. It's not just about getting on your knees in the morning and praying. Those are all things that are critically important. But there's something beyond those just kind of checklists that just says, oh, I got to get up. I'm supposed to read my Bible today. No, it's not just about getting up and supposed to read your Bible. It's about getting up and connecting with God and saying, God, can you talk to me this morning? I'm ready to hear through your Bible. God, I want to connect with you today. I'm going to get on my knees and pray. And can we talk? Oh, God, and when I get up from my knees, I'm not done talking to you today. That was just the time that I specifically designated to it. Now when I go to work, I'm still going to be talking to you. It's just going to be while I'm doing the rest of my tasks that you've given me. God, I'm connecting with you. Now, there are some people here in this church that are very relational people. You crave relationships with other people. And you know very seriously what it is to connect with someone else. Wives, some of you know what it is to connect with your husbands. And you know what it is not to connect with your husbands. And you crave connection. You crave connecting on an emotional level with your husband. And this kind of connection with God is the connection not just of communication, but a communication that is two-way. It is a two-way street. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. He's sharing messages with me. Do you know that can be your Christian life? It can be my Christian life. That's what it means to walk with God. Now let's try to unpack this conceptually a little bit and ask what it means. You see, this is where we bring in our third point of continuation. Walk with God. That has the idea of continuing to walk with God. Now, friend, do you know that God has given you the ability to connect with him throughout the entire day? This is what Galatians 5 says. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, you know, let's just lay the baseline right here, the foundation. The moment that you trust Jesus Christ to be saved, The moment that you are born again as a Christian, you weren't a Christian before, and now you are a Christian because you've asked Jesus to save you, you've asked him to transform you, to forgive you of your sins, and to take you to heaven to be with him because he's the only Son of God who died for your sins. When you trust him to be your Savior, the Bible says that you are born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God moves inside you. It connects with your spirit. And you become the very temple of God. You become the church of God, your body, because the Spirit of God is living inside you. What it means then to walk in the Spirit is to be connected with the Spirit throughout your entire day, connected with Him, communicating with Him, having fellowship with Him. That's what it means to walk with God, to have that line to heaven throughout the day that is not cut. Jesus said a very similar thing in John 15 when he said, "Abide in me, be connected to me." Just like you go and look at a vine and you have that beautiful green vine, and then coming off the vine is a branch, and what's hanging off that branch? Fruit, grapes. And he says, just like that branch is connected into the vine, and if you cut it apart from the vine, the branch is going to die. The fruit is going to die. He said, you need to be connected in me like that. Connected in to me and abiding and remaining and staying with me. See, I just want to make this one point very clear. It's a very important one. If your Christianity is about nothing more than a checklist of should-dos, you will never know what it is to walk with God. If your life is simply about getting up and going through a routine, about a habit, you see, we all have different habits. For some of us, our only habit is getting up and going to church on Sunday morning. That's about the only time we have that ability to connect with God. Some of us have committed to read our Bibles every day, to pray every day, to memorize every day. If the only thing we have on our spiritual list are some boxes to check, that's not what it means to walk with God. Why? Because walking with God is about walking in the Spirit that He has provided for us to connect with. You see, when you're connected with God, you're going to want to read your Bible. When you're connected and walking with God, you're going to want to spend time and go by yourself and connect with Him. When you're walking with God, you're going to want to tell other people about Him. It's not just about saying, okay, God, do I have to do this? Okay, I'll do it. It's about a life that is connected with God at your side, and you are communicating with Him. You see, there's a lot in your life, friend, that wants to distract you and me from this kind of walking with God. Do you know what I look around and see people connected with today? You know, look at my generation. Do you know what we connect with really well? This. I go out to dinner, and I see families sitting down to eat, and what are the kids do? The mom and dad are talking, and the kids are doing this. Never look up, never have a word to say. Whether it's Facebook, whether it's texting, whether it's Snapchat, whatever it is, we're really connected to this. But you know what, friends? If you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to walk with God, this thing's going to have to stop connecting with you so much. This thing is going to have to stop being that which distracts you until you can actually communicate with God and connect with Him. Now, praise God for some aspects of technology. I study on my phone. I study to preach. I read the Bible on my phone. I will memorize on my phone. I'll read devotionals on my phone. We can connect with God through technology, but friends, we need to ask whether the things that we're giving ourselves to in our life, our phones, our computers, our technology, all the things that we have, are they those things that are making us connect more with God or connect less with God? And if they're making us connect less with God, we need to make a change. We need to start saying, God, how do I get apart? How do I stop hearing all these other voices and start focusing on your voice? Are we walking with God? You see, the walk with God is a pure walk. The walk with God is a personal walk. But third, this is so wonderful, it is a pleasing walk. A pleasing walk. Notice what God says of Noah. Scripture says in verse 8 here of chapter 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word has the idea there of favor. It was what pleased God. Now you say, Peter, did God's grace cause Noah to be a just man and perfect man? Absolutely. Absolutely. God's grace is always before our pleasing of Him. But you know what, friends? I also believe it's the flip side too. Noah's walking with God is what found God's favor, is what pleased God. How do I know this? Do you know there's one other person in the Bible who is described as walking with God? Anyone know? Who knows who in the Bible walked with God? Enoch walked with God. Yes, Enoch, another man in Genesis. By the way, that's interesting, isn't it? We think of the Old Testament as being this place where they all lived under the law, they lived under priests, they had to go through people to get to God. Do you know from the beginning it wasn't like that? They walked with God. You can walk with God. But in any event, what Enoch walked with God, and Hebrews 11 tells us something about him. By faith, Enoch was the one who was translated right up to heaven. He didn't die. He went right up to heaven. He walked with God. He walked with God to such an extent that God says, you know what? I'm just going to take you to heaven right now. You're just going to go right up with me. And do you know what Scripture says about him? Before he had this translation up to heaven, he had this testimony that what? He pleased God. Friend, do you know walking with God is what pleases God? Let's learn something about God today. We're not going to have any subpoints here under this point, but we're just going to talk about some ideas. Do you know that God desperately desires to connect with you? Do you know that God loves nothing else in a sense? He is pleased by when He walks with you throughout the day. Think about this. Think about a God who, when He connects with Nick and walks with Nick, can also walk with Peter, and can also walk with Mary, and can walk with Amy, and can walk with Dave, and can walk with Calvin, and can walk with everyone, and there's not one sense in which it's diminished. See, you can walk with me, and my attention is with you, but that means I can't walk with someone else. Do you know God wants to walk with everyone here in this room? He wants to have connection with every single one of you, every single day, 24/7, 365. Now, how do we know this about God? Because it's about the very nature of who God is. Do you know what the Bible tells us? God is in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you know what this tells us about God, among other things? It tells us that there's a relational God. God says when He created man, He said, let us make man in our likeness. Let us. He's talking. He's communicating. God the Father with God the Son with God the Holy Spirit. There's a connecting God. He is a relational God. This is the very nature of God, that He wants to connect with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. That's the nature of God. Do you know, friends, it's the history of God. From the very beginning of time, do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned? And they ate of the fruit that God had told them not to eat. Do you know what their first reaction was? To go hide. And they put on fig leaves to cover themselves. They went and hid. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. God was coming to have presence with them, to have connection with them, to have communication with them. And do you know what Adam and Eve did? They hid. And friends, from that time, your sin and my sin has caused us to separate from God, to draw away from His communion, draw away from connecting with Him, draw away from relationship with Him. But God is walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and He's saying, I want to connect with you. He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where'd you go? You see, what we need to realize is that when we are withdrawing from relationship with God in our daily lives, when God is at the back of our to-do list, when He's at the back of our minds, not at the front of our minds, the heart of God is seeking us. It's longing for that kind of relationship. It's desiring our fellowship. It's an amazing thing. Now, we also know that we have a relational God because of the one that He sent to live among us. Do you know Jesus Christ came and he could have been king simply not to be in relationship with any, but simply to have his own needs met? Jesus did something very different. He came and he picked out 12 guys. 12 guys from the most common class of society, fishermen, tax collectors. He said, come here. I'm going to pour myself out into relationship with you for 3 years. I'm not going to go to the big city centers. I'm not going to go to these places and try to heap up as many followers as I can to elevate me and hold me up. I'm going to pour my life into relationship with 12 people. Jesus came to be in relationship. And you know what he said when he left? Before he left, he said this. He said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go back up to heaven. But he said, it's better for you that I go. Can you imagine his disciples? It's better for you if I leave. You've been our teacher. You've been our mentor. You've been the one who's been showing us everything. How can it be better for me? He said, because when I leave, God's going to send a comforter. John 14 says, you will know him, Jesus said. You will know this Holy Spirit. You will know this Spirit that's going to come and live with you. Why? Because he's going to be in you. He's going to be living in relationship with you. And what Jesus was saying is this. Jesus is only one person. He's in one place at one time when he was living here on earth. He says when God sends his Holy Spirit, it's going to be available to all of you in as much, in all the fullness of God, and to every single one of you, no matter where you are. Yes, it's better that Jesus goes back to heaven so that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in each of us. I'd just like us to step back and think about that reality for a moment. That right now, today, there is a God in heaven that looks down upon you and says, Peter, this week I want to connect with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to talk with you every day. I want to communicate with you. I don't want your eyes to get distracted by the things that are around you. I don't want your eyes to get distracted by your sin and your flesh and your selfishness and all these other things. I just want to communicate with you this week. Friends, does that create in our hearts a desire to have fellowship with God this week? Does that create in our hearts a desire to talk with him more this week than we did last week? To spend more time trying to get to know him by reading about him in the Word? By spending more time with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are getting to know God and building relationship with God? Does it create in your heart a desire to walk with God this week? I hope that it does. I hope that it does because that's the heart of God. You see, last week we talked about an engaged Savior. An engaged shepherd who goes out to the mountains seeking the one that is lost. The one that can't hear his voice. The one that's wandering out in danger, pursuing his own desires, pursuing his own lusts. And do you know what the heart of that Savior is? It's the heart that brings him back, not just to protect that sheep, but because the heart of the shepherd says, sheep, I want to connect with you. I want you back in the sheepfold so I can relate to you, so I can commune with you. That's the heart of an engaged Savior. And this week, I pray, and this month, and in this year of engagement here at Straight Gate Church, I hope that the testimony of each of us will be the testimony of Noah. Oh, he walked with God. Oh, she walked with God. May it be so even this week for Christ's sake. Let's pray. Father, what a testimony. What a blessing that would be to have on a tombstone. He walked with God. Lord, I pray, stir in our hearts a desire to walk with God. Stir in our hearts a desire not just to obey him. Yes, that's critical. But to connect with him. To relate to him, to have fellowship with you, the one who desires relationship with us. Father, I pray for the one here who is still a lost sheep, the one who doesn't know what it is to walk with God because their sin stands in the way. They've never received forgiveness of their sins because they've never asked for it. They've never asked that the blood of Jesus would cover their sins, would forgive their sins, would redeem them, would rescue them from their sins. Oh, Father, that one can never know what it is to walk with you. Let's pause for a moment. If there's anyone here who needs to do business with God, who needs to say, I need to get my sins forgiven. I need to be saved this morning. I need to walk with God. I don't know what it is to walk with God. We leave this moment. If God so leads, you can slip out from where you are and come to these steps. Someone will take a Bible and show you what the Bible says about what it means to be saved, what it means to have that initial connection with God, to be born again. But maybe there's someone here this morning who says, there's some sin that's preventing me from walking with God. I know I'm not connecting with God. I know it's not real for me. I know my relationship with God does not have reality. Oh, friend, I encourage you, take a step of faith this morning. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is real, that he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Friend, if your relationship with God is not real this morning, if you don't know what it is to walk with God, by faith, won't you start pursuing him this week? Won't you start seeking him? It's that faith that brings us into that communion with God. Let's take some time to do whatever the Holy Spirit's telling us this morning. Tony Labar, would you mind coming up and closing us in prayer?
Thank you, dear God, for this morning together, this opportunity to walk with you. And as we start out this new year, let us remember to continue the walk with you, and that it would be genuine, that it would be consistent, and that it would open a real communication between us and you and our loved ones. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.